Untitled Leisure Project. My name is Danny Varghese, and this week, the Gauntlet returns!
This time I'm actually going to win.
And are you actually going to put in, like, lightning and thunder sound effects?
Yeah.
Lightning doesn't have any sound.
I am.
Yeah! Joining me this week as my perennial co-host from maybe one of the last times.
You just bumped the table. Jesus.
Do you want to start over? We can start over.
No, it's fine. But as podcast editor now.
I was going to reveal that. I was going to be really excited and be like, Danielle Hewitt, our new podcast editor.
Well,
applause. Yay. Hooray.
It's all
applause.
And
so this week on The Gauntlet, we have an excellent topic, a movie that is as divisive as it is weird.
Yep.
B-Movie by Jerry Seinfeld. And joining us in the studio, which is actually the satellite office of The Voice, is our former podcast editor and this week our moderator, Mr. Jonathan Block.
It feels good to not be responsible for this.
You can just let this train wreck happen. Let this train wreck happen.
Touch the table.
All right, cool. Well, so considering that you lost the last Gauntlet episode and that I am currently
one tier zero,
I will give you the opportunity so graciously to make your opening statement before I will.
Okay.
So, Danielle, why is B-Movie bad?
Okay. B-Movie is, first of all, a waste of money. Okay, according to IMDb, this movie cost $150 million to make. Like, who was, like, do you know how much stuff you could do with $150 million? Do you know how much charity you could give to? Do you know how many lives you could save, Daniel, with $150 million? This movie is just proof that Jerry Seinfeld has too much fame and too much money. That's the bottom line.
Is that literally your argument?
No.
This movie was too expensive?
No, that is not. No. Second of all, well, on the track of expensive, Oprah's in this movie, Sting's in this movie, Renee Zellweger's in this movie, John Goodman's in this movie. Like, so many, Chris Rock is in this movie. How? Because Jerry Seinfeld is too famous. Anyway. Second of all, this movie needs to pick a plot line because it's just, it's very weird. And, like, too many,
sorry,
like,
pick a plot line?
Just pick a theme.
Oh.
There's, like, weird, like, racism themes in there. There's, like, environmentalism themes in there. There's, like, capitalist themes in there. Like, it's just, like, who was writing this and who was deciding that this is what we would talk about for an hour and a half and not really just care about any of them in the end. Thirdly, a human woman and a bee fall in love, Daniel. Why? Why? Yeah.
Is this your entire argument?
One more argument.
Okay.
One more thing. I really feel Jerry Seinfeld was like, how many bee puns can we fit into a movie? And since he had the means to do it,
he did it.
But he never stopped to ask, should he?
Hmm.
Yeah.
So your argument in sum is, this is a movie that was made and didn't need to be made?
Yes.
All right, Daniel. Here's the thing. I'm gonna make. Again, thank you, John, for joining us.
Oh my God, such a kiss ass.
It is always nice to
do
debates with us and just to talk these issues through, because it's really important today that we get again to the discussions of art and what the purpose of art is for, which is literally what we were talking about last week, Danielle.
Yes, it was.
Because Your fundamental premise in saying that art has to be anything, art has to do anything,
is
so
very
fun.
Bare minimum has to say something.
Danielle, this is my opening statement time.
It is your opening statement, but you're still wrong.
Here's the thing about B-Movie. The fact that it cost $150 million doesn't matter. Sometimes things are just expensive. When we start determining how good something is based on how much money it costs to make, then we're not talking about how high quality of a movie it is. We're not talking about whether the quality of the art is. We're trying to make it, like, say, like, oh, was this valuable? Or was this, like, you know, was this cost efficient enough? And that is not fundamentally the way that I think we should judge art. Mm-hmm. I don't think that when we're determining whether a piece of art is good, we should look at the cost benefit curve and figure out whether, you know, the amount of money you put into this was reaped ultimately in the final project. I think we should look at art and determine whether we liked it and whether we didn't. And I, for one, liked B-Movie. And I liked B-Movie for a lot of the reasons that you outlined. Your main criticism of B-Movie was that it has too many themes. The thing about life, Danielle, is that there are a lot of things going on. When you're thinking about the world that we live in, B-movie tackles the issues that we face in a very intersectional way.
The economy and environmentalism
are inherently linked, and the critique of capitalism that you find in B-movie how, you know, it pushes us into jobs that we don't want to work in, and it makes us cogs in a system without individual identity, and how ultimately, like, are trying to remove ourselves from that system can have a bunch of outside effects that we don't have, and that there's a really strong purpose in trying to restore dignity to our work, and that once we do that, we have great benefits to the whole society. These are all really important and interesting things that B-movie is saying in a very, admittedly, weird, strange way. I think that, for me, the fact that this movie is willing to just, like, talk about all sorts of themes and never actually, you know, stick to one specific thing that they just hammer away through the movie, I think that would be really boring if they just did that. And so, as, like, a kid's movie, I think this B-movie is extremely interesting because it's just, like, we're trying to get at the complexity of everything that we're talking about in life. And I think it does that really well. What were your last two points? I'm sorry, I forgot.
I don't even remember. I just got lost in that bullshit. just spewed.
What was her last two points, John? I think there was the expensive thing.
Human woman and a bee.
Human woman. This movie portrays friendship in a really interesting way. I think you're coming at this in assuming that they're in love, in romantic love, and I don't think that's true.
A little bit of romantic love.
I mean, maybe at first, but eventually, like, Barry, I don't think they're...
But the fact that it's there at all is weird!
Why not?
Because he's a bee!
But, like, what makes him as a bee who has a perfectly normal personality and a fleshed-out humanity, almost... What makes him any less valuable than anyone else? The premise of the movie is that, like, we should be thinking about the lives of animals, like, in complex ways that we don't.
I really feel like you're just extrapolating way too much from this movie.
I don't know. I take the movie at face value a lot of the times. Because the movie is a weird movie about bees who can talk.
There's almost no way they put that much thought into this movie.
Probably saying something about... the bees!
There's
and, like,
no
about
way.
Humanity. Because
no way they put that much thought in this movie. There's no way.
I mean,
there's...
they spent $150 million on it.
They had to pay for Oprah, and they had to pay for Sting, and they had to pay for...
You think they put no thought into something they spent
$150 million on? I mean, I'll say they put no thought, but they didn't put that much thought.
That is literally what you said 15 seconds ago.
Okay, I was being using hyperbole.
Well,
but
I think we should be exact when we can, Daniel.
Okay, fine. They obviously put some thought into this movie, but not as much thought as you're giving them.
Ultimately...
You're giving them way too much credit.
To your last critique, which I just remembered, that they basically use this movie as a venue for bee puns, I agree. There were too many puns in this movie. That being said, the humor... beyond the puns, I actually thought was pretty funny. Like, the generally, like, Seinfeld dialogue has the weird types of reactions and, like, the funny voice and that stuff, and I thought that was funny. And, like, the strange throwaway jokes about, like, life as a bee that didn't involve beehives, didn't involve bee puns, were really funny. Like, for example, the ones where they were in the hive and there was, like, the amusement park, and they were just like, oh, yeah, I guess that's, like, they do this because we work all the time. And, like, I thought that was funny.
How is that a joke about life as a bee? One.
Because bees are work really hard. Worker bees. They work all the time.
Yeah, okay.
The premise of the movie is that they work themselves to death.
Aside from that.
Actually, that was also a really funny scene. The movie where they're doing, the scene where they're doing orientation to the Hunnex company. And he's like, okay. So you're just going to work us in the same job until we die? And they're so, we'll sure try. Hilarious. Just a funny joke.
Not hilarious.
In sum.
If we're going to be exact, not hilarious.
In sum, this movie is good because it is complicated, very strange, and ultimately pretty fun to watch.
I would say fun to watch, not complicated. And what was the second one?
Strange.
Yes, strange. But strange in a bad way.
All right.
Strange in a bad way.
All right, well, I guess we'll agree to disagree there, John.
John?
Danielle. I was going to say Danielle. John, question for us?
Sure. Let's return to the
John
point.
John is not prepared for this.
At all. We should have gotten Allie.
let's return to the themes argument.
Uh-huh.
It kind of seems like, Danielle, you're saying that there are too many themes and it's bad. And Daniel, you're saying that it's fine to have multiple themes. I'd like to hear more on why you each think... I guess you agree that there are lots of themes in the movie. I guess,
right.
Like, why does it not work or why does it work?
they never really carry many of those themes to fruition, I would say. And I think you know you're bullshitting that. I think you know.
No, I'm
that
saying
this whole thing, that's, there's no way. Like, there's so, they, I just, I feel like they just didn't know what direction, they, I feel like they just were like, we should make a movie about bees and make bee puns. And then they just didn't know what direction to go in, so they just, like, started talking about, like, just random stuff that, like, didn't, like, it made sense because it was bees and environmentalism, but, like, if you're gonna be in, have an environmentalist movie, like, make it an environmentalist movie, like...
Well, I don't think this movie was made to be necessarily, like, a statement about environmentalism.
I just, honestly, I feel like it wasn't a statement about anything.
I feel like it, well, it doesn't, I don't think it needed to be a statement of, like, I don't...
I feel like if you're gonna make something,
no,
cause, like, say something.
Because there are... I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I think, like, some art doesn't necessarily have to say something, it can just be, like, aesthetically appealing.
This clearly wasn't.
I mean, I thought it was. I did. I thought it was. And the interesting thing about it is that it's saying so much. And you're right that they didn't necessarily flesh out all the themes individually as well as they could have. Like, the capitalism critique could have been a little bit more drawn out. And in most kids' movies that I tend to like... They take one theme and then they expound on it for a long time. Like, for example, in WALL-E, it's really environmentalism,
yeah.
It's loneliness, it's that kind of stuff. I'll turn to another Pixar movie. In Inside Out, it's all about, you know, your emotions and being emotionally connected, and that's okay. And then, you know, valuing all your emotions equally, and that's okay. Here, it's not that. It's not one emotion talked about for an hour and a half, but our lives aren't structured to involve the discussion of one single theme forever. You know, as we move through life, we encounter so much constantly.
Did you say Donald Glover took a page out of this movie for
Atlanta? I mean, we'll table that. We're not talking about Atlanta here.
I know we're not.
Which is a great show. But, you know, you could make the same argument here about that. I don't necessarily think they achieve it as well as Atlanta does. Because
I think what's
Atlanta treats each of the... Atlanta treats... No, hold on. I'll bring it back. They treat each issue a little bit better. And they, like, actually expand on it and give it a little bit more flesh to it. But I like the fact that this, as a kid's movie, is trying to at least bring up a bunch of different issues for a child to, like, have to try to engage with and be like, why does that bother me? And not just with, like, environmentalism, but with, like, capitalism, with you know, overworking yourself, with understanding the way the world is interconnected, understanding, like, different types of, you know, diversity and, like, human nature types of questions. I like that the movie is trying to bring up all those things, even if it doesn't necessarily, like, succeed in the best way.
Doesn't succeed. Two, I feel that, we're going to cut this out because I don't remember what I was going to say.
We're not going to cut this out.
No, okay. I totally forgot what I was going to say. It was such a good point. Say what you said before.
No.
No, say it.
No, I think my words have already been spoken.
Okay.
You do actually get edit this, so you technically could just cut. You could cut everything that
I
said.
I'll
come off on this podcast into, like, some idiot who, like, you'll only keep the moment where I was, like, arguing with John, where it's just like, no, I'll bring it back. Like, you
chop up your
that.
Words.
I am Daniel. I am stupid.
Yeah.
B movie is bad.
Okay. I forgot what I was missing. Okay, so I think what's missing from all of that argument for me is, like, intentionality. Like, I really don't see, like, the writers of this movie, like, moving it towards this very, like thematic, like, we care about these themes, we want to flesh them out.
Mm-hmm.
This was our intention from the jump. Like, I don't see that, because I don't think they see them through successfully, which kind of makes the movie kind of bad.
Mm.
I don't think... It was the same with How I Met Your Mother, where I felt their intention with the rest of the show kind of got lost as the show went on, so the finale wasn't that great. With this movie, I also feel that, like, they didn't intend for it to be some commentary on these things. They just added it in because they wanted to make a movie about bees, and it was kind of an afterthought, and they just wanted to make it weird. Like, I just don't... Yeah.
Can you provide any specific examples of sort of the themes not being carried through?
It's just, like they would just, like, do, like, offhand... Like, I just feel like the movie was, like... We watched this a week ago. But it was just kind of in, like...
No excuse.
Okay, fine. It was just, like, there was, like, chunks of, like, different themes in the movie, but there wasn't, like, a full-on, like, the bees stopped working, so the flowers died. I don't even... I can't think of an example.
I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
And that, like, if you're... I think your fundamental argument is that if they wanted to make a movie that was a critique on, you know, American society, they would have picked one issue, like, aspect of American society and been like, this is what's wrong with capitalism. Look what it does with that. Look what it does to people. Like, look how it drives people to kill themselves. Or, like, look how...
Make my point for me, Daniel.
Right. And the thing about it is that, like, and maybe it's true that... No, I don't necessarily think it's true that they had no intentionality with this movie. Because you're right that they wanted to... I'm sure they came at this being like, let's make a funny, weird movie about bees. And how do we do that? And so they were thinking about the plot and, like, trying to figure it out. And then, you know, in doing that, I think, like, they came up with all these, like, different kind of ideas about just, like, how life... What, like, random, weird things about life as a bee could teach us about our lives as humans. And then how humans interacting with bees could provide lessons for...
successfully.
Well, that wasn't the argument you were making. Well, before you were saying that they weren't doing that intentionally.
I mean...
And I think they were, because, like, each of those... thing, like, in they're not fleshed out for a long period of time, and they're certainly not as fleshed out as they could be, but each of those things is discussed. Each of those things comes up, and it comes up not in a way that's just like we have to extrapolate onto it. Like, literally at the beginning, they're talking about his life in the hive, and he gets really disillusioned from it because he says, like, you're gonna work me until I die, and and the person who's leading the tour says, we're gonna try to, and everyone assumes that's okay, and Barry's like, wait a minute, what? No, that's not okay, and that's the idea there, what they're trying to say there, is that, like, all of us are kind of living in the system unaware, which is true.
Like,
those things are at least stated explicitly enough to where I know that there is not... I don't think we can say that there was no intentionality on the part.
Okay, I didn't say no intentionality. I said it just wasn't as strong as it could have been.
Okay, well, then you're making the argument that everything has to be, like, perfect in order to be considered good.
Okay, no.
Which I don't think is true.
No,
I think B-movie is good because it's, like, really fun.
You're taking my argument to, like, the very extreme. I'm not saying that. It has to at least be, like, good enough.
I thought it was.
I don't think it was. It wasn't.
But, like, but based on, like, the criteria you set off, like, in a movie that at least with its theme has some amount of intentionality.
Yeah, but, like, it didn't have enough is what I'm saying.
That just, I don't know. I guess that critique seems like,
it, like,
nothing I can argue with because you've set, like, a very subjective boundary for, like, where... what intentionality is.
Because
I think, like,
it doesn't come across. It doesn't come across.
I think they do. I thought the themes were extremely explicitly stated, Danielle.
I mean, they're explicitly, but, like, it doesn't come across. It just doesn't come across. God damn it, Danielle.
John, I think it's about time for another question.
Yeah. How about the relationship between Barry B. Benson, played by Jerry Seinfeld,
sure,
and Vanessa Bloom?
Sure.
How about that name, played by Renee Zellweger?
She owns a flower shop. It's hilarious.
Yeah, how about it?
Once again,
so,
hilarious.
No, it's not a great joke.
Danielle, you say that they have a romantic relationship that's weird.
Yes.
Daniel, you say they have a friendly relationship that is maybe not expressed super well.
No, I said that I think at the beginning Barry had romantic attraction with...
Okay, he's at the very least romantically attracted to her. And there's the part where she's like, I met a nice bee who treats me well and breaks up with her boyfriend for him.
Yeah, I don't think that necessarily means, like, there has to be romantic attraction. That just means that, like...
I'm pretty sure that...
Maybe there's a...
I just don't think they wanted to go as far as to say, like, oh, they're dating. But,
well,
like,
yeah, and,
like,
maybe there is, like, a movie
blind
version of this movie that's, like, on the cutting room floors of, like, what studio made this? Warner Brothers, probably? DreamWorks?
Yeah.
DreamWorks. There's probably a version where they, like, make out at the end or something, like, disgusting.
Yeah.
But I think in this version of the movie, it's not necessarily... It's not explicitly stated that their relationship has to be romantic. Because, like,
it's
maybe
heavily implied.
Well, yeah, because, like, Barry at the beginning is like, oh, like, yes, like, I like spending a lot of my time with this person. I like talking to her. I like doing whatever. Those are all things that you would have in, like, a very intense friendship as well. And there is, and the thing about, like, a romantic relationship is that they're really, the physical aspect of it is very important, I think.
Yeah.
And without any proof of that. I don't think we can say, like, oh, this is clearly a romantic relationship. And just because, like, they like each other, like, they're, like, talking to each other doesn't mean they're, like, dating. Like, I like talking
like,
to you, and we're not dating, Danielle.
We are not. It's, like, heavily implied that, like, they're at least supposed to be, like, attracted
by,
to each other.
By what? There's
by,
I don't think there's anything
that conversation
applies.
With her boyfriend is weird. That
sure.
conversation...
But her boyfriend's also, like, not great to her.
Her boyfriend's not... Yes, but that's besides the point.
No,
like,
it is.
You, okay, you, she could break up with him and not say, like, I met a nice bee who, like,
I mean,
treats
like,
me better than you do. Like, what... it's like, it's very clear, like, language you use to, like, break up with someone when you're, like, want to be with someone else.
Is it? Maybe I just don't know enough about women.
Clearly not. But, like, it's, yeah. It's very clear language, like, I like Barry.
Sure.
But, like, it's also a kid's movie. But, like, it doesn't mean, it defies logic, that relationship.
Well, I agree. I don't think that, like... I the reason that I don't think, like, it is a romantic relationship is because, like, a romantic relationship between them wouldn't actually make any sense.
That's, yes, it wouldn't.
And it that's why I don't think,
like even
that
a heavily implied one is weird.
Right, and I don't think it's
Does,
that heavily implied.
It's pretty implied. Most people think that it's some sort of romantic relationship.
Many people think that there is a romantic relationship.
I'm just
what?
He just mocked me to the microphone. That's where his argument is gone.
That is true. I did do that. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah, I think, like, ultimately, the end of the movie leaves it off where they're just, like, very good friends who, to be fair, are working
in
his office is in her flower shop. But, like, it is also the office of another practicing lawyer. A mosquito. played by Chris Rock.
Yes.
And so, like, I don't know. I just don't think there's any... I think it... Their relationship is much more... is characterized much more as, like, a very close friendship than as a romantic relationship.
I don't see that.
Right, what about the plot? We've talked about kind of the more, like kind of side things. What about, like, the actual structure of the movie?
Sure.
There's
is
so
that
many
good? Not good.
Like, the structure, like, it's like it like has like a linear plot. It's fine, but like it's just like there's so many moments. Where it's just like wait, like what? Like,
yeah, that is true.
Why?
That is true.
Just like what? Like
the
when
plot,
they kill Winnie the Pooh? Like actual, not even like the cartoon character. Like they're like Winnie the Pooh exists in this universe, guys, and they like tranquilize him or some shit.
Yeah, they didn't kill him.
Yeah, but Winnie the Pooh exists
sure.
in this universe.
Sure.
There's also the part where the bees lift the plane. There's no way. But it's a cartoon, so I'll give them that, but also, like, who...
Also,
like,
could be scientifically possible. Apparently, bees can lift up to 122
Daniel,
times their body
not.
Weight. And there
it's
were a lot of bees
not.
Underneath that plane.
Daniel,
there were a lot of bees underneath that plane. If you think about the surface area of a plane
oh
and how small a
but
bee is, you
weight.
Can fit so
but
many bees
the
underneath the bottom
Daniel,
of a plane.
Maybe an empty plane. I'll give you an empty plane, but, like, a full plane with, like, a big float on it and people's luggage and, like, there's no way. We'll never know.
I suppose we could do the calculation, but that is not neither here nor there. I think the plot, you're right in that the plot is a bit of a mess. It goes all over the place. It starts in one place, it goes in tons of different directions, and it does a lot of things. That being said, like, the whole time, you're right that there is a linear storyline, and each success, like, each subsequent direction that the plot goes in makes sense. In time, except for some of the, like, throw-off things. Like, the fact that they tranquilize Winnie the Pooh is not necessarily the most
it's
sensible
not
thing.
It doesn't
not
make logical.
It's not necessary. It makes sense in the context of, like, they're on a crusade against bears who are bad to bees.
It doesn't...
But you're right that it just doesn't seem necessary in a way, I think. I think that's... Is that what you're saying?
It doesn't seem necessary, and it does... Not that it, like, doesn't make, like, sequential... logical sense. It's like, why am I watching a movie where a bee is in court defending all of bees against the human race?
Right. And ultimately, I think the reason that you're watching a
and
movie...
Trying, and having Sting testify.
And I think the reason that you're watching a movie that is about bees testifying in court and bees trying to rescue and a bee or a woman under the direction of the bee driving a float of flowers, like, through a parade. Why you're watching a movie where, like, you know, there's a scene where with a bee attached to a tennis racket being bounced around is because these things are funny to watch. They just are fun, weird, funny scenes that all happen and all make sense and ultimately make for a funny movie. The movie is, like, enjoyable to watch primarily because it just, like, does the weirdest stuff.
My laugh to,
that is, like,
eye
and it's
roll
so many
ratio
things.
Was too high.
Okay. I mean, sure. I just thought that, like, ultimately each of the individual scenes, even though, like, it was kind of strange that they were trans, that, like in theory, like, it shouldn't make sense that you would, like, go from a movie about, like, inside of a beehive to a movie about, like, becoming friends with this, like, human and, like, talking with that and, like, breaking rules of the hive and then, like, discovering that honey is a thing that people sell outside of the hive, then, like, going on a stakeout to, like, find out where the honey comes from, and then, like, going to try, like, that is not the movie that you expect to watch when you're watching Bee Movie.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, it is a movie that when you're watching Bee Movie, like, you're like, oh, these things kind of, like, the plot is linear enough to where it, like, makes sense, even though it's super strange.
I'm not saying the plot makes sense. Like,
Weird.
It's just weird and not in a good way. Like, okay, the thing is, okay, if I'm watching a cartoon movie, I'm okay with being asked to suspend my disbelief.
Sure.
Like, Wile E. Coyote falls off a cliff, I'm like, whatever, it's Looney Tunes. But the extents they asked you to, like, suspend your disbelief and, like, just, like, care, it's too much.
Okay.
It's, like, it just, yeah.
I guess I can never convince you otherwise.
I think the whole movie is basically, like, but why did they do that? Like, that's the whole thing.
Right.
Like, they were just, like, isn't, like,
well, I think that
their weirdness is based in, like, why did we, like, it's just, like, random.
Yeah, I think that, like, the actions of the characters take are pretty clearly motivated by, like, what we know about them. Like, all of Barry's weird things that he wants to,
like,
do are because he's so, you know, upset at his, like, own condition and trying to, like, find meaning, and ultimately when he tries to find meaning, he ends up ruining the lives and livelihoods of a bunch of other people in ways that he didn't expect, and so then he, like, has to fix that situation and then, like, get accompanied to, like, a lesser situation or find, like, new meaning somewhere else. I think all of those things make sense. And,
like, I think you just, like, conflate, like, just because, like, the movie makes sense doesn't mean it's good. You know? Like, I don't think
the baseline
for, like, the movie should be, like,
no, I just think, like, you, like, the plot's weirdness isn't disqualifying, because I think that, like, the plot made sense and is also pretty funny the whole way through. That's my point. I thought this movie was pretty funny and fun to watch.
I thought the movie had funny moments, but in the end, it just seemed, like, not good. Just, like, not well enough made for me to be like, this is a good movie.
Okay.
Is there a takeaway you guys had, like, at the end? Was it just kind of like, okay, watch that and it's done? Or is there some kind of, not necessarily like a message, but just maybe like some value you get after having watched it?
I would say no.
Yeah, I don't think there's a very, if there is a value, it's not very clear. It's really like a movie that, for me, like, after I watched it, I was like, that was a lot of fun to watch. And, like, now I'm thinking about a lot of random things.
Okay.
Which is, I think, like, good enough for a kid's movie.
Unless you're comparing it to Pixar, then.
Unless you're comparing it to Pixar, who makes, like, beautiful pieces of art that you can't really compare even, like, good movies to.
Eh.
All right.
I can compare it.
Do we want to do closing statements now?
I don't particularly have any closing thoughts. I think I've said everything. It's
yeah,
just, like,
said
I ultimately, I think this is a movie that is fun to watch, makes perfect sense, has, like, and tries to do a lot of things. Not necessarily succeeding 100%, but doing a good enough job to where it made me think and was fun to watch.
I think the entertainment value of this movie is in the first watch and being like, oh my god, what is this? And then the second watch, you're like, no, this is just dumb.
This was my first watch in many years,
yes,
but this was not my first watch. No, I knew, I remembered the plot.
Okay.
But, like, but yeah, but I still found it to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
So,
oh, you gotta declare a winner.
Yeah, gotta decide. All right. Well, it's a close decision.
Jesus.
Pretty close arguments. But I'm gonna have to say that the winner is Daniel.
Whoa!
We're never doing that, so we're together again, John Block.
Whoa! Wait, why? Why?
So
Daniel just has a way of, like, talking in circles that makes me confused, and then I don't get my point.
Here's the thing. So I thought in the thematic argument, Daniel had the better argument. He kind of made the argument that, like, having one continuous theme wasn't super important. In the relationship argument, I think Danielle won. She made it clear that the relationship between them was weird and uncomfortable.
Weird.
And then for the plot argument, which I thought was the most important, it was very, very close, but I think you kind of acquiesced on it being kind of just, like, there were funny moments, and, like, it made sense, and so even though kind of some of the stuff was random, Daniel kind of made the point that, like, it was a kid's movie, and it, like, made enough sense, and it was funny enough. So I gave him the edge on that, and that kind of pushed him over the edge for the win.
Ooh, Danielle, so now you're 0-2. Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah, you're okay.
I'm not. I'm very much not.
Well, I did not think I would pull that out.
I'm going to lose so many friends from these arguments.
Is it just like me, like, three times?
Never talk to her again, Jay Block.
All right, well, that'll do it. Thank you so much for listening to the Untitled Leisure Project and the second episode of The Gauntlet. These are really fun, Danielle, don't
you
think?
These are fun. Yeah.
They're really fun for me right now. But thank you so much, John, for moderating that.
Of course.
If you liked us, subscribe to the Voice Podcast Network on iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast delivery app. Not on Google Play.
Not on Google Play.
You can do it on Overcast, which is what I use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you do that, you'll have immediate access to new episodes of the Untitled Leisure Project, as well as the other excellent podcasts we produce, like the 250, Taste Test, the Sports Urban, the Phone Booth, and Stripped. You can find a lot more content from us and everyone else on The Voice in our print magazine, which you can pick up on stands around campus, and on our beautiful website, www.georgetownvoice.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter, at GTown Voice, and at Halftime GU, and like us on Facebook for frequent updates about campus happenings. I think on Facebook we're just the Georgetown Voice. So, and if you happen to like any of us in particular, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at drvarg01. You can find Danielle as DN Hewitt.
96.
I was going to say it. Yeah, maybe. And John at John...
Underscore
block, right? No.
Underscore again.
John underscore block underscore. John without an H.
No H.
No H.
So using his code name.
And so in the meantime, send us your ideas for future episodes of the Untitled Leisure Project and things that you want Danielle and I to try to argue about. We have a lot of very different pop culture opinions, very important, maybe, apparently.
Words
are hard. And I'm all worded out from all this. And so anyway, the theme music for the Untitled Leisure Project is by Ben Sound. You can find it and other royalty fusion music at www.bensound.com. That's it. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.
So bitter.
So bitter.
This is devastating.